Happy Father's Day, all. Have a seat. I was just thinking, Ali, as you read those verses where Paul says, I've learned to be satisfied, whether I've got an empty stomach or a full stomach. And I heard a couple of people that went out for dinner last night, and they had very, very full stomachs. Won't mention anybody, but Jeff Towns, Andrew Morse. So, Jeff, you can do your laps. You can do your laps afterwards. Is Jeff gone? Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you do. Last week, it's actually the week before now. Isn't it amazing how quickly things are not current? I was writing this message, and I'd written last week, and I looked at it just now, and I thought, actually, it was the week before, because the week's changed. But we moved house, and it was on a Tuesday, and, you know, we had to logistically get it all organised with settlements and things like that. Anyway, we weren't able to start to load into the new house until about, it was close to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Anyway, we got up there with trucks and trailers and all the stuff. And once we'd actually sort of loaded everything in and got boxes to the appropriate rooms and got the important things, like got the fridge and freezer plugged in, got the bed set up, and had some couches and things in our lounge room. And we actually had a dining table, so we were going pretty well. But we sort of got to a point where we thought, all right, let's call it for tonight. And, you know, a number of fairly tired people, you know, sat down around the table up there and had a bit of food and enjoyed a celebratory drink as we, you know, decided we'd got that far. You know, and for me, that was job done. Even though there were more things to set up, there was lots more to do, but it was job done because it was actually the end. It was a moment that was the end of a season. Like it was nearly 3 months, I guess, of a process like that of needing to be pretty focused, because we decided that we put an offer on a house, and then we had to sell our house, and there was a whole lot of work we needed to do to our house to get it ready for market in a short period of time. So it was a season of going pretty hard, of running fast and having a lot of focus. And right at that moment, it was like, okay, we've got to this point. Even though there's more to do, we've got across the finish line. And it was like, hey, job done. And it's very satisfying to sit back and enjoy a moment when you've actually finished or accomplished, you know, a job or a task or something like that, where you can actually sit back and say, okay, we've actually done that part of it. And when Paul's writing to Timothy, and these have been our theme verses at the moment, he says, I've fought the good fight. 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, he says, I've fought the good fight, I've finished the race, and I have remained faithful. So he takes a moment when he's writing to Timothy, and he acknowledges in those verses three things. And I'm actually going to speak about these tonight, but I just want to acknowledge them now. He talks about his fight, he talks about his race, and he talks about his faithfulness. His fight, his race, and his faithfulness. And so tonight I want to unpack those a little bit more. But he knew he'd given his all, he knew he'd got across the line, he knew he'd remained faithful to his God, to the people in his world, and to his calling. So, you know, when you think about faithfulness, it's actually faithfulness first and foremost to your God, or our God. It's faithfulness to those people that God puts around us in our world. And there is a faithfulness that we need to have towards what God calls us to do. So that is probably the heart cry of many fathers here this morning. When you think about what would you like from life, if you think about that, you think, well, I want to continue to fight for those that I love and care for. I want to protect. I want to be there for them in whatever that means. I want to fight for what is right. I want to stand up for those things that I believe in. And I want to continue the race. I want to continue on regardless of what comes my way. And I want to remain faithful. And I reckon all of us have actually got that inside us in various ways. And the thing about life is, those things sort of sound, you know, all very idealistic and all very noble, but in a complicated world, it's not always that simple, is it? You know, you start off to do something and you think, I'm going to be faithful to that. And then something hits you from the side. There's a big broadside that knocks you off course and you find yourself in a place you never expected to be or didn't want to be. And how do we remain faithful to a calling? How do we remain faithful to people? How do we continue to run with endurance through those times? And I think the writer of Hebrews gives us some clues on that. And he says in Hebrews 12 verse 1, he says, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set out before us. So endurance is the capacity to last and withstand, to keep on keeping on. And as you know, I talk about it a lot, but I've started to understand in later years what endurance means, because I've started cycling and do silly things like ride big distances and things like that. And I've had to get my mindset around what it means to endure. And what I can tell you is that in any endurance event, there will be pain. There will be hurt. There will be times that you don't enjoy what is happening. But there is an amazing joy and fulfillment and satisfaction in actually getting to the finish line. And sometimes in life, we understand in our Christian calling that there is a difference between joy and peace and this euphoric feeling of needing to be on top the whole time. You see, when you finish one of those endurance events, when you've ridden, you know, 200 plus kilometres or something like that, that there is an exhaustion and there's perhaps a euphoria at getting there, but that soon passes. But then, you know what, there can be a joy and there can be a peace that we can have in life regardless of what's happening and even the pain and the barriers that we've got to walk through. So how can we actually run with endurance? How can we continue to fight for those that we love? How can we continue to stand and fight for what's right? How can you continue on regardless of what comes your way? How can you remain faithful? How do we run with endurance? And good morning to everybody in the valley too. Happy Father's Day in the valley. Happy Father's Day, Simon. Here in Hobart, why don't you give a big hand? Simon and Jane are our service pastors in the valley and they're doing a fantastic job. So that's a big shout out for Simon and Jane, doing a fantastic job there in your Norfolk. We're very proud of them and we're proud of what's happening up there at the moment. It's fantastic. Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to life and to faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. So to remain faithful, to fight the good fight, to run with endurance. The first thing I want to look at is, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses, I think number one, and this is really important for blokes here this morning. Number one, if you want to run with endurance, you've got to surround yourself. If you want to run with endurance, you've got to surround yourself. Because you know what? You weren't created to be a solo man. Did anyone remember, you know, the 80s and perhaps the 90s, those solo man ads? Yeah, you know, you get this absolutely, you know, cut-looking guy and he'd be up on the water, top of a waterfall. One I remember is he's up on the top of the waterfall in a kayak, you know, and down he goes, hardly touching the water and, you know, risks life and limb and gets to the bottom. And what would you want to do at the end of that but pick up a can of Solo? And the most important thing that when you're sculling a can of Solo is to get the appropriate amount of it running down your mouth and running down your cut chest in front of the cameras. That's what it means to be a solo man. So most of you, some of you are not built like that. And the reason is you're not designed to be a solo man. None of us were designed to live life by ourselves. And one of the verses that I've taken on as a key verse in understanding this stuff is Proverbs 18 verse 1, and it says a man, and often when the Bible says man it means plural, but I think this morning we can actually apply this to men because we've got to work on this one a bit harder in general. A man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, and rages against all wise judgment. So surround yourself with the right stuff, surround yourself with the right people, and surround yourself with the right input. So we've got to actually get around us, you know, the right things in our world. We've all got things in our world, but what is it at the moment that you are surrounding yourself with? What is the input that you are currently getting? What do you take in to your life at the moment? And who are the people in your world? And I think it's important, if we're going to run with endurance, who you run with makes a difference. Who you run with makes a big difference. And one of the things I've found out as I've been riding, we do this thing called Strava. Some of you know what it means, but it's basically, you know, it's Facebook for athletes. And it posts up all your times. You know, it uses GPS to do that. And everybody gets excited when they get PRs and when they get, you know, in the top 10 and all these things like that. And sometimes when I've done a ride, and particularly with a bunch that I used to ride with, when I first started riding with them, they were a lot faster than I was at the time. So every time I went out with that bunch, I would get just PRs galore. And everybody go, oh, that's amazing. And really, it wasn't about me. It was about who I was riding with. It was about the fact that I was in a draft. I was in a group where I was actually running a lot, or riding a lot faster than I would have done by myself. And I think, you know, who you run with makes a big difference to where you end up. Who you run with makes a big difference to what the journey's like along the way. You know, what I want to be intentional. I want to run with purpose, but I also want to have some fun along the way. So, you know what? We've got to run with people that help us get to the end. We've also got to run with people that encourage us and we can have some fun with and we can enjoy life with along the way. So the right people, the right input. There is a huge group of people who have fought the fight, who have run the race and have remained faithful. Open your Bible and read the stories. If you need encouragement, open your Bible and read the stories about people that have run the race, that have fought the fight and have remained faithful. You see, those things are actually included in the Bible to actually encourage you. They're in there to help you understand that they are the same people with the same flesh and blood as you. They are the same people with the same problems as you. They're the same people that were dealing with all the things, even though it was a different time, people are still people. The issues weren't that much different. Same faith, same God, and people that actually endured and got through. And it's not to make you feel bad. It's actually to help you understand that there are people that have been before, and you can actually get in the slipstream of those that have been before and be encouraged in that. So, you know, open your Bible and read. It says this in Hebrews 11, verse 32, and the writer is saying, how much more do I need to say? It will take too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, they ruled with justice, and they received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the flames, and they escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned into strength. They became strong in battle. Women received back their loved ones from death again. Inspiring stuff. And if you read that chapter, there's a whole lot more in it. And what I want to say is as you read that, just think about those things that I said a minute ago. Same human weakness, same challenges, same broken world, but same faith, same God. Whatever you're going through, when you pick up the Word, when you pick up the Bible, just be encouraged that whatever you're going through, there is nothing that you're going through that others haven't been through before. There will be parts of it that are unique to your circumstances, but really, these things have happened. And we've got the same faith and we've got the same God who is interested in where you're at the moment. So surround yourself with the right input. the right people, huge crowd of witnesses to life, to love and to faith. And Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "And these things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others." So the right people. So how do we bring the right people in our world? What are we looking for? And I think we're looking for faithful people. We're looking for faithful people. We're looking for people on the same journey. We're looking for people that are committed to others. We're looking for people who have good people committed to them. We're looking for people who are prepared to put themselves under submission, under the submission to God and submission to godly leadership. You know, it's fun to hang around with a rebel, isn't it? It's fun to hang around with somebody that, you know, that lives on the edge and does all that sort of stuff. That's a lot of fun. And it's dangerous. And that's why we like it, because some of us are drawn to risk and those things that are a bit dangerous. But you know what? At the end of the day, if that is the input in our world, you find yourself living your life with the same attitude and the same way. And this is the sort of thing that we speak, you know, often when we're speaking to young people about choosing the right friends. But as I look around here this morning, we're not that young. And one of the things that I want to say is that a lot of the things that we speak to our youth and our youth group, sometimes we let go as we go through life a bit. And we think we don't need to worry about it anymore. I think often we tend to isolate ourselves a little bit more. And we've got to think about bringing the right people into our world. How can we connect ourselves with faithful people? How can we connect ourselves with people that are on the same journey? People that are committed to others? People that are prepared to actually put themselves under submission to God? Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. All right, to run with endurance. Number two, I think you've got to release yourself. Number two, release yourself. The King James Version says, lay aside every weight of sin. Now, I like those words, lay aside. Basically, leave it alone, put it down. You see, our choices are not always between right and wrong. When you are young, perhaps that's the simplicity of life. You know, this is right, this is wrong. But as you go through life, you realize that most of your choices are not necessarily about what is right and what is wrong. They're choices between something that may hinder you and something that may not. Is there a weight in your life that you don't need to carry? Something that needs to be laid aside? And maybe it's putting down the phone and letting go of stuff that entangles us. Maybe it's laying aside your sense of entitlement. Maybe it's laying aside your need to be right. Maybe it's laying aside your need to be noticed. Maybe it's laying a whole lot of things aside. Isn't it amazing? A lot of the stuff that we get so wound up about isn't that important. And there are times where there are things, and when Paul talks about this, he says, you know what? Lay it aside. In other words, there is stuff that you're not going to be able to sort out. Did you know you can have a disagreement with somebody and you can think, oh, I need to be able to get to the bottom of it and we need to sort it out. And sometimes what we think sorting it out means is bringing them round to our way of thinking. And then we can feel really happy with it. But really, a lot of times you've actually just got to say, I am going to lay it aside. How can we do it? I'm going to lay this aside for the greater good. I'm going to lay this aside for my calling. I'm going to lay this aside so that I get to the end. I'm going to lay this aside so that it doesn't eat me up along the way. Another version says, throw it off. Maybe there are things that we need to throw off. When we were moving and we were getting our little house ready for sale, one of the things that we did is when we were into that, Alex did a great job of gathering a whole lot of stuff up that she thought we didn't really need, that we could do without. And we took a big trailer load and put a whole lot of stuff in storage so that our little house would look more spacious for sale. And the interesting thing is that we ended up, just because of the time frame, we went for about 2.5 months without that stuff. And actually, we still don't have it back. We've set up our new house and filled it up without that stuff. And there is very little, I can only think of perhaps one thing that I've asked about, and Alex has said it's in that stuff. We just haven't needed it. It's in storage. We could leave it there forever and be happy. We don't have access to it. For those 2.5 months, we didn't have access to that stuff. What are some of the things that are in your world and around at the moment that perhaps you don't need access to? What is it that you need to shut access off to? Is it a line of thinking? Is it a habit? Is it a location? Is it something that you actually need to close off the access to? And the way that Paul writes about that, he says, throw it off. Throw it off. In other words, don't just say, hey, I'm gonna put that over there. Who's you've all done this, haven't you? You're eating some chocolate or something like that, and you eat one row, and you think, yeah, that was nice, and that would be about the right amount. And then you find yourself having another row, and then this is what I do. So I take it and I fold the paper back up or whatever it's in, and I push it aside. And then I find myself pulling it back and having another row. But you know what? If I really get determined about it, what I will actually do is I will pick it up, wrap it up, take it and put it back in the cupboard and get it out of my arm's reach. And there are so many things that we need to throw off and shut the access to. Like, you know, like things like the fact that I am going to, you know what, I'm going to indulge, you know, myself emotionally in this fact that I feel like I've been hurt or I feel like I've got this offense or whatever it is that there are times we've got to throw it off. We've got to choose to shut the access to that off. We've got to say we're not going back to that place and finding a way to actually shut it off and throw it off with some intent. In other words, just putting it aside where we can pick it up. The New Living Translation says, let us strip off. Strip off. Endurance runners are lean, aren't they? Have you seen, you know, when you watch the Olympic marathons and you see these marathon runners, that, you know, they're like skeletons on, you know, they look like nothing on them. You know, they are absolutely so lean. The reason being that in an endurance event, you don't want to carry anything that you don't need to. Any extra weight is going to slow you down. So these people are so totally different to sprinters. They, you know, they're skinny and they're lean and they've got nothing of them because they don't want to carry anything extra. So let's lay aside all those things that we don't need to, so that we can run. I reckon in some of our thinking we can. I've spoken in the past about decluttering and decluttering our thinking. You know what? We can actually make our lives less complicated. See, when you're carrying stuff, offences, and all these sorts of things, your life is actually more complicated. Because people invite you out somewhere and it's like, oh yeah, well I can't go because that person's there and that person's there and what if so-and-so turned up and all those things, and suddenly something that was simple becomes very complicated. And the more that we carry, the more complicated our life gets. All right, to run with endurance, number three, I think we've got to devote ourselves. Devote yourself. It says, the sin that so easily trips us up, or another version says, ensnares. And so sin will actually trap you. It will slow you down. It will entangle you. And it will make your life more complex. That's what God encourages us to get free of. It hurts us. It separates us. And it ultimately destroys us. That's why Jesus died. There's the Greek word that they use when they said ensnares is quite a hard to pronounce one, but it's Euprestatos, something like that, which can be translated in four ways. And it means easily avoided, admired, ensnaring, or dangerous. So he said those things that ensnare us, you know, that they are things that can be easily avoided, they are things that will be admired, and they will be things that do ensnare, and they're things that are dangerous. Now some sins are easily avoided, aren't they? There is some stuff you can actually avoid really easily. You can just say, you know, I'm not going to do that. You know, it's like, I'm just not going to go to that place or whatever. And some things are pretty cut and dried. And they, in the most part, are things that we can deal with fairly easily if we choose to and we want to. And some sins are admired, but they're damaging. So that you can actually want something, or other people will admire something in you. And, you know, things like, for example, false humility. If you're really good at false humility, you will get a lot of praise every time you put false humility on. And people admire it. They go, oh, well, you know. And you start to do it, and then it becomes a place of pride, which takes you into a dangerous place. But you will get admiration from that. So just because you get admiration from something doesn't make it right or good or helpful for you. And others are ensnaring or they're dangerous. Let's as I finish here this morning, let's debunk the word sin. You see, sin is not just bad stuff. It's not just looking at stuff on your phone or your computer or smoking stuff. It basically is rebellion against God. And those things that I'm talking about are the manifestations of that thing. And I think the problem every time we hear this word is that our mind always goes to the specific manifestations of that. Whatever it is that you're struggling with, or whatever it is that you see, or whatever. And we boil it down and we make it hard for ourselves because we see it as this thing. And we see it as this thing that is all about our policeman God wanting to take our fun away. See, I spent the first lots of years of my life feeling like my fun had been taken away by our traffic rules. Like, I felt like life would be much more fun if I could drive as fast as I wanted to, wherever I wanted to. I felt like life would be much more fun if I could do wheelies and smoke tyres whenever I wanted to, all those sorts of things. But we understand that those things were put there for a good reason, to keep people alive. And it wasn't just about my fun being taken away. And sometimes we grow up going through those things. We grow up with our experience through high school. You know, I found there were lots of what I felt were ridiculous rules that they had at school. And most of them were about taking your fun away, weren't they? I'm speaking to the fathers here. Boys, we struggle. You know, you weren't allowed to run in the corridors. You weren't allowed to do this. You weren't allowed to do that. You had to stop that. Fun, fun, fun. Just taken away. And yes, there were reasons for that. We know. But the problem is that we actually take those feelings and we transfer them from our experiences in life. And we actually see when our God starts to talk to us about the way that he's helping us to live, and we start to transfer that to our God, and we think when we hear that word sin, is it's just about fun being taken out of our life, and we feel like it's about being boxed in, we feel like it's about being, you know, put in a lane and told that you can't go anywhere else. But I think what we've got to understand is the opposite of rebellion is devotion. You will get what you focus on. And we can spend all our time and our energy focusing on those things that we don't want to do. And Paul wrote about that so well. He said, He said, what a wretched man I am. He said, the things that I don't want to do, I continually do. And the things that I do want to do, I don't do. And he goes through this whole argument with that. And he's saying, look, in my strength, in my capacity just to stand and not do stuff, I am a failure. I am not getting it right. I am not doing it. I'm not getting there. And I'm trying with all my might, and I'm struggling. And I've gone to the school analogies this morning. But what I used to find is that occasionally I had phone calls that went from my school to my parents. So I mean, my parents spoke to me, and life sort of got a bit complicated and not so good for a few days when those things happened. And I'd sometimes just get myself together and go back to school, and riding my bike to school, I'd be saying things like, David is going to be a good boy today. David is going to be a good boy today. David is going to be a good boy today. David is going to be a good boy today. And I'd walk into the first period, we used to call it class teacher period. David is going to be a good boy today. David is going to be a good boy. While I was still saying it, I found myself in the principal's office. You see, you get what you focus on. Yes, terribly. And sometimes what we're doing is we're spending all our energy focusing on those things that we wish would change. Those things that we know that are our weaknesses. Those things that we know we're not quite getting right. And you need to be aware of them. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying the way through it. And recently, you know, I've spent time recently talking to people battling with, you know, huge addictions and stuff that is not just like, hey, get over it. It's so hard. And for one person I was talking to recently, my encouragement was, well, I can't, you know, I'd like to say, you know, like, we'll help you. We'll stop you doing this. We'll, you know, every time you want to take that, we'll help. And you know, and I haven't been there in that place, but I know it's hard. I know it's incredibly hard. And my advice, and I think we've got to just help people with this, it's about devotion. Can we go from just focusing on the stuff to focusing on the one who will give us the power to overcome? You see, the opposite of sin and rebellion is devotion. So rather than focusing on the things and the stuff, we've actually got to work on our devotion. And as we work on our devotion to God, something happens in us that actually gives us the power over those things that are happening in our world. If we want to run with endurance, we need to be devoted. And if the team want to join me, please, now. See, to run with endurance requires a devoted mindset. It means laying stuff aside. And it means having a purpose that's bigger than yourself. We talked about some of this stuff in my men's breakfast group on Friday morning. And as we just said about those three things, I said, what's it, as you know, as blokes, what's it take to continue to fight for what's right, continue to fight the good fight? What's it take to run your race, and what's it take to remain faithful? And as we all talked about different things and different experiences, so much of it came back to the fact that it was all about, first and foremost, our connection to God and the purpose that He places in us, which has got to be bigger than anything that you're facing. And then secondly to that was the connection to people, that heartfelt, real connection to people. I just want to encourage us, as all of us here this morning, some of you will right now feel like you're standing at a start line, just like Karen is. That start line can be a whole lot of things, can't it? It can be a new job. It could be a new journey in your family. It could be a transition in job. It could be a transition from a working life to a what we used to call retirement, which I don't think is anymore. But it's those seasons of transition. Wherever you are, whatever you're on the start line with. And I think that all of us are always going to have an area where we're on the start line. We're always going to have an area because, you know what, our God is a God who is doing new things. So there is always something that He's planting in us. There's a seed that He's planting in us. And He wants us on the start line. And when we go, what's it take to run with endurance? What's it take to know which lane you're called to be in at whatever season? What's it take to continue to walk? What's it take to keep going when you hit a pain barrier? What's it take to keep going when you lose a loved one? What's it take to keep going when a marriage fails? What's it take to keep going when your marriage is hard? What's it take to keep going when your kids are very difficult? What's it take to keep going when you're broadsided by a huge disappointment? What's it take to keep going when you get a health scare? What's it take to keep going when life is very good? What's it take to keep going when you feel like you're successful in a season? What's it take to keep going when things are working better than you've ever expected? What's it take to keep going when you feel like you've made it? You know, the very same things that it takes to keep going when life feels good are the same things that it takes to keep going when you feel like you've got a challenge. It is that devotion to our God. It is that connection to Him that's been connected and running with the right people. Let's stand. Let me pray for you. I want to pray for a couple of groups of people here this morning. For those that feel like they're at the start line of something new. And this is the same prayer for those that are standing at the start line with the anticipation of a new and exciting season and all those things that could be ahead, and there is some fear, there is some nervousness, there is unknown. And then there are others that are standing at the start of a season that you know is going to be challenging, it's going to be difficult. Same God who brought you this far will see it through to completion. He will not leave you anywhere. I'm going to pray for you, Lord. Pray for you now. Lord, we thank you that as we stand at the start line, that you know what's ahead. And you will be with us. You will be faithful. We thank you that there is a huge crowd of witnesses to life and to faith who have been there before. Lord, inspire us, encourage us, stir us up in Jesus' name about what you can do, the fact that you won't leave us, that you're going to come through. You're going to help us get to the other side in Jesus' name. And then there are people here this morning and you'll feel like you're out there in the race somewhere and the finish line, you can't quite see it. It's not inside and you don't know how you're going to get through that season. You don't know what you're going to do. Well, I'm going to pray for you right now. I think there's going to be breakthrough for people in this area here this morning. Lord, I thank you that you have not called us to flounder in the unknown. You've never asked us to live life forever in the wilderness. We thank you that you showed us that we can be led into the wilderness and we can be led out of the wilderness, and that we come out of it with a new sense of your calling, of your spirit, and with power. And as people are in that place here this morning, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would just fall on them right now, that you would reinvigorate them, that you would inspire them in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you that you will see them to the finish line of whatever that season is. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Come on, let's praise our God. Thanks, Katie.